Okay, for Parshas Vayera. Yeah? I have a little musical accompaniment here in the back, and we'll get started. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell Avram Avinu about the destruction of Sodom. And in this article, we're going to try to understand why Hashem feels compelled to notify Avram about the destruction of Sodom. And the Pasuk says, Vashem Amar HaMachaseh Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Oseh. It's like a rhetorical question. Can I conceal it from Avram? And then it says, V'Avraham Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol V'Yatzum V'Nivruchu Bo Kol Goyei Haaretz. And the Pasuk indicates that Avram Avinu will be the father of a great nation, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through Avram Avinu, etc., etc. Now, I would like to share with you, before we begin, the insights of the Meshech Chochma, Rameir Simcha Mitvinsk. He understands that Avram Avinu's Midah, his great he personifies the great attribute of Chesed.
Yes.
And a person who does chesed, he does good for others, has the right to desire that the others will appreciate his chesed. I mean, that's the way God created us. You know, we want others to recognize, to note that we put ourselves out. Now, Avraham Avinu does a great chesed for Sodom. Again, it doesn't pan out at the end, but Avraham Avinu makes a great effort to try to save the people of Sodom. And he prays, and he argues, and he litigates with God, you know, to try to see if they can. And now, Hashem has decided that despite it all, he is going to destroy Sodom. In fact, the chesed that Avram did for Sodom even predates this parsha of Hafichas Sodom, because back in the time of the different battles, you know, between the kings, when Lot was taken captive, Avram Avinu goes out, and amongst the people that were saved was Melech Sodom. Oh. So if you bestow chesed on someone, then you really want that chesed to be noted throughout not only that generation, but even generations to come. For example, in davening every morning we say, Zocher Chasdei Avos. What does it mean, Zocher Chasdei Avos? We remember the chesed that Hashem did with the Avos. The entire Sefer Bereishis is all about Hashem's protection of the Avos, our forefathers. And the reason why Hashem, right, it says, Umevi Goel Lifnei V'Nehem, and now God wants the people of Israel to continue to exist so that they will recognize His great chesed. And now Hashem is about to destroy Sodom. You know, with the destruction of Sodom, the approval or the appreciation of Sodom terminates completely. No longer will they be able to, or their generations to come, recognize what Avram might have done on their behalf. So Avram is a baldover here. And Hashem comes to console Avram, and he says that even though Sodomites will not recognize your greatness and appreciate your chesed, but you will be the father of a great nation. And your generations will recognize what you gave them, your contribution as the father of that nation. Rashi says the following: Hamachasa ani me'Avram asher ani oseh b'Sodom lo yafali lasos dover ze shalom midato. Rashi doesn't really clarify what he means here. He just says that it's not right, says God, to do such a thing, destroy Sodom, without the knowledge of Avram. Anina sati lo esa'aretz hazos chamisha krochem alolu shelohem. This area, this territory, is occupied by Sodom, but it's really designated for Avram. And he quotes a pasuk in the 10th chapter Bereishis, indicating that this was the gvul, this was within the boundaries of the land of Israel. I also have called Avram the Av Hamon Goyim. He's the father of many nations, and now I'm going to destroy one of those nations. How can it be lo odia la'av? I won't notify the father? So there are two reasons that Rashi gives as to why God refuses to conceal his decision to destroy Sodom. Reason number one is because these are territories that belong to Avram. And reason number two is because Avram will be the Av Hamon Goyim, and these, in a sense, are his children, are about to destroy his children.
And that may explain why Avram was so adamant to try and get them all.
Correct. And he's going to work overtime to try to spare stone. But the question that we're going to ask is the following. Ma Kesha, what's the connection between Sha'asid Avram Leo's Goy Gadol? If you want to talk about Avram being the Av Hamon Goyim, that makes sense. But the Pasuk of Av Hamon Goyim is earlier in this parsha. In other words, if we open up to the parsha of Av Hamon Goyim, then we're opening up to Pasuk He in the 17th chapter. If we're talking about Hamachasa Nime Avram, that's in a different section. That's in chapter 18. What appears here in chapter 18 is that Hayo Avram Hayo Yeli Goy Gadol. What does the Goy Gadol here have to do with destroying stone? And Rashi says that Zechar Tzadik Livracha, that whenever you mention the name of a tzadik, you have to give him a bracha. And again, that's one way of understanding why Hashem bestows this bracha on Avram, that he's going to be the father of a great nation, Hayo Yel Goy Gadol, Atzum. But that doesn't seem to connect to what came immediately before it in the parasha, namely Hamachasa Ani Me Avram. So again, if you're going with Rashi that there are many different reasons why Hashem had to reveal what he was about to do in destroying stone to Avram, because Avram is the Balabas over there, Avram is also the Av Hamon Goyim, that's all fine and dandy, but it doesn't connect to those words in the Pasuk that appear immediately following Hamachasa Ani Me Avram. What's the juxtaposition here, the Smichus HaParshios, between Hamachasa Ani Me Avram and Avram Hayo Yel Goy Gadol? What's the Goy Gadol here, and how does it connect to Hamachasa Ani Me Avram? Now, in the second column here, you'll see three columns on page one. He quotes Rabbi Yoshua, the Rebbe of Belz. You see that? And he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a decision that he must reveal to Avram that he's about to destroy stone. Why is that so? And the answer, the secret that we want to reveal here is in one single word, and that's tefillah. Pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avram to pray. Now what's paradoxical here is that at the end of the day, does God accept Avram's prayers? Right? Is the prayer of Avram successful in achieving its goal? Everybody, what's the answer? Yes, no, maybe it was not successful. So on the one hand, Hashem desires the tefillah of Avram, and he notifies Avram that he's about to destroy stone to evoke Avram's responsive tefillah. On the other hand, Hashem says, I'm not going to be mekabel your tefillah. So maybe it would have been a better idea not to reveal to Avram that he is going to destroy stone, and not to get Avram to be mespala, and that tefillah will be a disappointed, wasted tefillah. Maybe just conceal this news. And if that be the case, then Avram Avinu would not have experienced a rejection of his tefillah. And nevertheless, God decides, no, he's going to have to reveal to Avram that he's going to destroy stone. Avram is going to pray. The prayers will not be accepted. And the reason for that is because Avraham Hayo Yel Goy Gadol V'Atzum. Because Avram is going to father a great nation. Says Rabbi Yeshua Mibelz, that the answer to this question is that when a person davens in a moment of need, even if his tefillos are not accepted now, what he calls the altar, in other words, you know, you plant a tree and the tree produces fruit immediately. When I say immediately, I mean within a reasonable amount of time.
I'll see you soon.
What do you say?
I'll see you soon.
Soon. But in the case of tefillah, we have a different rule of and regulation. Even if the tefillah is not successful immediately, and God doesn't respond, He doesn't accept that supplication, we have an absolute faith. He calls it a yedia ne'mana. He has to believe with his full heart that that tefillah, and we're going to try to prove this, is up in Shamayim. It's locked up in a treasury, a divine treasury, for all of eternity. And at some point in history, what's going to happen is that either for that person, or more likely for his children, through the generations, they will be spared as a result of the impact of that tefillah. So when we get disappointed because we see our tefillos are not accepted, we have to respond with a different emotional feeling. And that is that tefillos are effective. Maybe not immediately, but down the line. So therefore Hashem reveals to Avram Avinu that He's going to destroy stone. They are Rishoyim. Avram Avinu is going to now put out all his efforts to be mispalel, try to find some zchus, maybe 10 tzaddikim in the city, that would save the city of stone. And if he won't find 10, he'll only find 9, he'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be part of the minyan. That's Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. And even if at the end of the day he won't even be able to find 9 tzaddikim, nevertheless, Avram Avinu achieved a great goal. His tefillah will be deposited, so to speak, in a safe deposit for all of eternity. And that's going to have a tremendous impact to save his children and his grandchildren until the very last generation. Whenever the people of Israel will need Rachmei Shamayim, they'll need to arouse God's compassion, there's going to be not only their tefillos, but there'll be another tefillah that's mitzarev, that adds and integrates into their tefillah, and that's the tefillah of the tzaddik, in this case the tefillah of Avram Avinu. And therefore when the pasuk says Hashem Omar Hamachasa Nime Avram Es Asher Ani Oseh, it means that even though in truth it makes sense that God would conceal this decision, because Avram Avinu might be disappointed that his tefillah was not accepted, nevertheless, no, Hashem decides that He wants to get the tefillah of Avram Avinu, even though it's not going to have any impact on stone to save them, but his tefillah will be meaningful and effective down the line, somewhere in history. Avram Hayo Yelagoy Gadol V'Atzum. There's something about that's unique about the nation of Israel, that they, when times of need, will be able to glean from and gain from the tefillah of Avram Avinu. It will not be a wasted tefillah. We have something called a bracha of Atollah. You might think there's something called a tefillah of Atollah. There's no such thing. There's no such entity in the universe called a tefillah of Atollah. Every tefillah is meaningful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at some point in history, will take out the tefillah of Avram, figuratively, from this otzer, from this treasury up on high, and that tefillah will have the impact of saving the people of Israel during the generations to come.
So let's. Hashem used that tefillah for other things.
Right, and we're going to get to that soon. How the tefillah of Avram was effective for this Goy Gadol, for this great nation of Israel. That's what we want to get to, but we have a few stops on the way. If you remember his style.
I want to ask you, isn't it true that there were two, actually three, but now two, appointed angels that came, that Hashem actually appointed to go into Sodom and destroy Sodom, and one was to remove Noah, I mean, not his daughter and his
family.
And his sister. So this thing, he appointed them. So the thing is, once he appoints a malachim, the thing is, they have to carry out, because the thing is, that's what Hashem did. So the thing is, wouldn't this be one of the reasons why he would say, I need to appeal from Abraham in order to prevent this? Because otherwise...
To prevent what? The destruction of stone or the destruction of Lot?
Because the angels were taking Abraham...
So you mean to say it could be possible, if I understand you correctly, that the meaningfulness of the tefillah, the power of the tefillah of Avram, would be to save Lot?
To to save
and his family.
Because otherwise, there would have been immediate destruction.
They would have been part of the destruction. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. That's an excellent point. He's going with a different assumption, and he's assuming that Avraham Avinu's tefillah was not successful immediately, le'alter as he calls it, but it is somewhere stored in a tefillah bank, and it will be used in the future.
So the last three lines in the middle column of page one, the last three lines is exactly where that message is.
Right, let's underline that.
Lines on the middle column.
Shishmuro lenetzach libnei banav adedora achra. That line, correct?
Yeah, and the next two lines, yeah.
And sometime during the future, God will bring out these tefillos from the Otsar, because Klal Yisrael need it. They need Rachmei Shamayim, and that will protect the people of Israel.
Right.
Okay, now let's move on. Right. I don't know if you need kavana for that particular Yeshua, but you need kavana for standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay.
So Hashem agreed that there were only 10 who would save the city.
Right, and we only got up to 8, I think, if I remember.
Right. That's
so again, Avraham Avinu's efforts were in vain, but they're not in vain. Why? Because the tefillos of Avraham are hidden for all days, protected and preserved, la netzach, for Bnei Bon. Okay, then that's what we have so far. That's called Hakof Alf. Now, if you give me a little time, I would like to, you know, hold on to the questions just a few minutes.
Sure.
Let's get to Hakof Beis, and hopefully that will answer some of our problems. The Torah describes Avraham Avinu waking up in the morning and standing at a place where he has a vantage point, and he can see Sdom va'Amora. And Avraham Avinu sees the destruction that took place the night before. What is Avraham doing over here? Why is he waking up early in the morning? You know, later on, at the end of the parasha, we're going to have Avraham waking up early for the Akedah, and we have a lot to say about that.
Right.
But why is he waking up early the next morning, looking at the destruction of Sdom v'Amora, and seeing, you know, the fires, the smoke that goes up to Shammai? And the answer is that location was exactly where he was a day before, when Stone was still alive, and he was mispalel on behalf of Stone. So why is he going back to that same place? And the answer is based on a Gemara in Brachos, which you'll see on the bottom of your page. Avram hishkim v'boker el ha'mokom asher omad sham kidei l'taken tefilas shachris. We know that each one of the avos is enacted, established one of the three tefilas that we have. And the Gemara says that Avram was misakin tefilas shachris. When? At what moment in time? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk by Hashkem Avram Baboker al Amokom Asher Omad Sham, and the word Amida is identified with Tefillah, as we see by Pinchas. This is unbelievable. Avram Avinu is Mesakin Tefillah Shachris. At what moment and from what location? At the moment when he realizes that his Tefillah was ineffective, and he was not able to save Sdom v'Amora. And he's looking at the destruction of Sdom v'Amora. And at that moment, he's going to be misakein tefillah shachris? Isn't that paradoxical? That should be the last moment I can think of, because that moment represents the disappointment, the failure of Avraham and his tefillahs. But the answer is that Avraham Avinu was a great Baal Amuna. His faith was such that even though God did not accept his tefillos with regard to Sdom, he believed that his tefillos were not wasted, they were not in vain, they weren't a tefillah levatola. He goes back to the same place where he was a day ago, being mispalel for Sdom when they were alive, and now he comes back and he davens tefillah shachris, and he establishes for all generations tefillah shachris. Because he wants to notify us and notify his children that we should know with great faith that there's no such thing as a tefillah v'atola. No tefillah is in vain. And even if the tefillah was not accepted immediately, it is stashed away, it is hid away for future for future tshuos or yeshuos. So that he goes back to that place and he says, you know what? Here's where I was yesterday. I davened, but I wasn't successful. No. I want to tell you that this is the exact location where I will establish tefillah for all generations to come, because I want to transmit the message that people should know that this is a makom tefillah. Even though my tefillahs were not accepted now, I was not successful in saving stone, my tefillahs will be meaningful to save Klal Yisrael down the line when it's going to be absolutely necessary. And we see this in something that is attributed to the Baal Shem Tov in explaining a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that people are mezalzel in the significance of tefillah. I'm trying to, you know, find the English word for mezalzel. It's the opposite of appreciating the significance.
They look down on it.
They look down on it. I'm looking for a word. So in other words, if you have a scale of 1 to 10 and you ask a Jew, well, where does tefillah fit in? He'll, you know, he'll give it a 5, a 6, or a 7. So the Gemara Darshan's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Kerum Zalus Livnei Adam. Now the word Rum, or Rum, means something that's Berumo Shalom. It's the highest and most lofty thing in the entire universe. But Zlus Livnei Adam, people look at it Bizlus. Zlus is Zilzel, right? They don't appreciate it. Elu Dvarma Omdim Berumo Shalom Livnei Adam is Zalzabalem, says the Baal Shem Tov, Nasem Mized Dvarim Noraim Berumo Shalomos. They don't appreciate the unbelievable mighty power of tefillah up in the higher worlds. And the Bnei Adam Svurim, they come to the conclusion down on earth, Shalom is Kabbalah Tefillah Son, that God did not accept that tefillah. So Chayim is Alzabim. What they don't realize is that although that tefillahs were not received and not accepted now for an immediate impact, but they're up there in Rumo Shel Olam. And don't be mezalzel in tefillah, because you don't know when you'll need that tefillah somewhere down the line, and it will be effective, or if not for you, for your children, or for generations to come. And at this point, he quotes a medrash. The medrash speaks about God's desire, his craving. It's called a taiva. We don't usually use the word taiva when we're describing the ultimate divine being. I mean, taiva is something that human beings have. But when you see the word taiva in Chazal to describe Almighty God, you know we're talking about the highest echelon, the highest level, the most lofty experience of God, which is Mis'avel et filosin shal tzaddikim. Why? Because the filosin shal tzaddikim has a ripple effect in the worlds, in the higher worlds. A tzaddik has a knowledge that whatever exists in this world and he is mispalel, it has an impact on the entire universe, on worlds and worlds of spirituality. And these are called the Olamos Helyonim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites the tzaddik to be mispalel. And when he does so, the tzaddik should realize that his tefillos may or may not be accepted immediately. He may not achieve his immediate goal, but nevertheless, he is rectifying with his tefillos the higher worlds, their spiritual worlds that are dependent upon his tefillos, and he is rectifying them. That's what a tzaddik has the power to do, and therefore God desires, he craves the tefillah of the tzaddikim. So if the tzaddik sees that his tefillah was not accepted, he should not be mezalzel in his tefillah, because those tefillahs are impacting in the highest worlds, up in Shamayim, and there they will generate fruit, like the tree that we spoke about before, and that might take years, or thousands of years, millennia, until it actually comes to fruition, but the tefillahs are there. They have been accepted on high for future generations. Now, let's take a look at the insights of the Yitav Lev. The Yitav Lev
Satmar.
Came from Satmar, correct. And he in turn quotes the Dubna Magid, the Oel Yaakov. And you'll see this in the middle column on page 2. The pasuk is Hamachas HaNimei Avram, our pasuk. God reveals to Avram Avinu that he's going to destroy stone, even though God knows that Avram's tefilos will not be accepted, but he's going to hide them in the treasury on high. Lo Shias Yisrael Bizchus HaTefilah. Says the Dumna Magid, this is the meaning of the pasuk in Yeshaya. Ushavte mayim b'sason mimayne Yeshua. When a tzaddik is mispal on behalf of the generation, he opens up mayne Yeshua. He opens up the sources or the springs of salvation. Be careful, arts. And this is for netzach nitzachim, for all of eternity. Every single generation could go back to the source of these springs and draw water from them. The waters of Yeshua. That's called Bimayne HaYeshua. And who actually opened up these sources of water, these springs from which we draw the Mayne HaYeshua? It was the tefillah of the tzaddikim. The tefillah of the tzaddikim have that power to create those sources, those springs of water, that water that is a Mayne HaYeshua that is going to spare and save Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Itav Lev, Kol HaKoveh Mokom L'Tfiloso, when a person designates a place, a location for his tefillah, the Gemara says in Brachos Elokei Avram B'Ozro, the God of Abraham will come to his salvation. And kishemes omrim lo, i'onav, i'chosid, mitalmidav shal Avram Avinu. When he dies, he'll go up on high, and the Bezin Shomala will declare, you're an onav, you're a chosid, you're a talmid of Avram Avinu. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean you're a talmid of Avram Avinu? Where do we see? What's your source? Who says that Avram Avinu was koveh makom l'tefilah? And the answer is that Avram Avinu, the very day after the destruction of stone, he goes back to where? To the very same place that he davened the day before. And why does he revisit that place? Because he wants to be koveh makom l'tefilah. Avram Avinu goes back to the same place, and in a sense, he repeats the same tefillos in that place that he was mispal on stone. But that doesn't make any sense. Stone was already destroyed. But what it means is he believes with a full-fledged belief, an absolute faith, that his tefillah on stone is still up there somewhere in Shamayim, lifnei Hashem, in the presence of God. And therefore, vayashkem Avram ba'boker l'makom asher amad sham es pnei Hashem. We begin to understand that whenever a person is mispalel, he should be mispalel lifnei Hashem, and he has to believe that his tefillah will never be in vain. That in that place and at that time, there will be a Yeshua from Hashem for his children after him throughout the generations, because that is his makom tefillah. And that's what the Gemara means, kol hakoveh makom l'tefilaso. If a person accepts upon himself with great absolute faith his belief that even if his tefillah is not accepted now, but nevertheless there's a makom tefillah, and that makom tefillah is the place we should come back to time and time again to be mispalel. And when we say Elokei Avram B'Ozro, what we mean is that the God of Avram is going to accept the tefillos of Avram, if not immediately, then down the line. And that's why the pasuk says, "V'Avram Odenu Omeh Lifnei Hashem." He still remains standing in that same position in the presence of God. Why? Because his tefillah remains in the same situation in front of God for all generations, and it's as if Avram Avinu is also standing together with the Shekhinah. So, what is the meaning and the power of the tefillah of Avram? What is going to, at what point in Jewish history, that's what Doc, you were asking before, is God going to take out this joker card, this absolute salvation tefillah of Avram?
But is he saying the same tefillah as he said the day before? I mean, because Saddam's already destroyed, he must be saying some other tefillah.
He's probably being mispallel that his tefillos of yesterday should help Klal Yisrael.
That's
being koveh makom u'tefillah, that my tefillos over and over again should be poel, should generate a final repercussion.
Now this is after or prior to? I think it's prior to, because Hashem's already said that he's going to sire many generations of Jews. So I mean, this he already knows this. In fact, doesn't this happen like four times? And then there's the issue of before the Akedah, and then that's a huge question mark. So if that's the case, where does this play into that? And why would we learn now that future generations of Jews will come forth and be saved, when we've already learned prior to that, at least on one, if not all the other occasions, prior to the Akedah, that's going to, it'll be the case that he will save us. You know what I'm saying?
Hashem says that he will protect the Jewish people throughout Jewish history, but now we're finding out how, through what mechanics, that's going to happen. What is the mechanism by which God will bestow, or let's say, feel compassion for his people?
Well, but Hashem's already said that about Avraham, because of your kindness, because you know he's already passed a number of tests. So Hashem has said, like I say, a number of times already that you're genuine.
Right, but the key of keys is going to be tefillah. Tefillah is going to have an impact, as we'll soon see, in a way that nothing else can have an impact.
Was this the first time Avraham has done tefillah? Has he done that before?
As far as the Torah is concerned, this is the first time it's recorded.
Okay.
So let's see exactly what goes on here. We're now on the bottom of page 2, and we're talking about Hamachasa Nime Avraham. He says the following. Let's understand, how is it that the tefillah of Avram is going to have an impact on Klal Yisrael? And he starts by saying the following, that the Bnei Banav of Avram Avinu, the descendants of Avram Avinu, are the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael that are going to go into Mitzrayim. So we're now talking about a very critical moment in Jewish history. The descendants of Avraham Avinu are about to go into Mitzrayim. And it says in the Pasuk, Avraham holidus Yitzchak, bioso ben meyashana. How old is Avraham when he gives birth to Yitzchak? He is 100 years old. That word mea is Rashi Tevos. Let's take the mem, the aleph, and the hey. Mabul, enosh, hafloga. These are the terrible generations, the criminal generations that preceded Avram, the Mabul generation, the Enosh generation, the Afloga generation. Each one was unique in its violation and its rebellion against God. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Avram onto the scene. What is Avram's goal? What is his responsibility? What is his contribution? He needs to do a tikkun. He has to set up a nation that will not be guilty, but on the contrary, will be purified of all the ill and all the evil of the Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga.
What's the last one? Afloga?
Afloga is the people who went up to build the Tower of Babel to rebel. Enosh is a different generation. That's a generation of people who had these special relationships that were idolatrous relationships. In any event, again, I'm just trying to get the picture here.
So he says
the following. He says that Avraham Avinu is now being appointed, and a tremendous responsibility, an awesome responsibility is being placed on his shoulders, and that is to be mitaken zaro shel Avraham, to set up this tikkun, and this is going to somehow break away from what happened until now, until he became Mea representing the Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga, leaving those generations in the past. Now, what's going to happen when the Jews enter into Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a terrible challenge of the Jews in Mitzrayim, when the what's called the Memtes Shari Tuma. And why are they going into Mitzrayim? So the pasuk tells us something which is amazing. Vetchem lakach Hashem vayotzi otchem mikura barzel. The experience of the exile of Mitzrayim is called the Kur HaBarzel. Rashi says Kur is that refining utensil where you put gold and you heat it up and it removes all the impurities. In other words, we are full of all these impurities that were engendered into our genetic code by the various generations that preceded us, the Mabel, Enosh, and Afloga generations, and now we have to clean and purify ourselves of those influences. That's the kli, which is called the Kura Barzel. And where is that meant to happen? Paradoxically, in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, we are going to undergo an experience of cleansing, of catharsis, of purifying our neshamas, and that's going to be a result of savlus, of sivlos Mitzrayim. The difficulty of the shibud is somehow, metaphysically, going to purify ourselves of all the dross, the spiritual dross that's accumulated over the course of so many generations. And once we experience Mitzrayim, then once we have cathartically purified ourselves of all these impurities, then we're ready for Kabbalah Satorit Har Sinai. Now let's go back to the origins. Avram has to fix up a sin that started with the dawn of man. That's the chait of Adam HaRishon. He eats from the Eitz Hadas, and that creates a spiritual blemish in the neshamas of all human beings, the entire human race, because it's considered as if everyone had in some sense participated in that sin, because all the neshamas are included in that of Adam HaRishon. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a compassionate God, and he would hope for and desire a tikkun haneshamos. As it says in the pasuk in Tanakh, it says, Choshev machshavos lebilti yidach mimenu nida. So he doesn't want to reject any neshama. He wants every neshama to have a possibility, the potential of participating in the process of zikuch, of purifying and refining the neshama. So that even though the chait of Adam HaRishon now has an impact, it penetrates into the very neshamas of all human beings for all time, but nevertheless, God would like to organize it in such a way, orchestrate it in such a way that these neshamas would be able to purify themselves. So that first, there was Dara HaMabel, but Hishchisu as Darka. And it says, Vayar Hashem es Rabah Ras HaOdom Ba'aretz. Ras HaOdom means Odom HaRishon. Then we get to Dara Floga. And then finally, we get to Avodah Zarah. All these generations are violating the will of God. They are rebelling against God. And now, the people of Israel end up in Mitzrayim. The purpose of Mitzrayim and the suffering therein, the oppression, is to be mezakech the nefesh, to purify the nefesh, like the Kura Barzel that we spoke about before, and to purge them of those evil inclinations towards Avodah Zarah, to purify them from all the contamination that was within the soul. And now, they go to Mitzrayim. But why Mitzrayim? Why all the suffering? On one level, we'll say it's because of the catharsis and the purification process through the suffering. But on another level, we assume that somehow there's a relationship between Mitzrayim and the specific chait of the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul were Hishchis Darkom ala Oretz. And as a result, the Oretz became completely destroyed and desolate by the Mabul. Now, Paro institutes a gzera that all the Jewish sons should go into the Yar. And once again, we're re-experiencing, so to speak, the Dor HaMabul in a microcosmic way. And then we have the Dor HaFloga. Hava Nilvino Levenim Livnos HaSeir HaMigdal. Let's build this tower. And once again, they were punished midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure. Notice the levanim in both cases, the levanim, the bricks of the Dor HaFlogah when they built their tower, and the levanim of Klal Yisrael when they have to build, when they have to create these bricks for Mitzrayim, and that's a midah keneged midah. Again, we're always assuming that Klal Yisrael are the descendants of those original generations. We're not talking about the other nations. They also are gonna have their challenges. Now we get to the punishment for building the Tower of Bavel. Vayiven are miskenos leparo es piso ves Ramses. Now the Jews in Mitzrayim have to do a kapara, an atonement for the sin of Chomer Ulevenim, in the case of the Tower of Babel. So we have now three generations. We have the generation of Enosh, of the Mabul, and Haflod. Well, guess what? There's a fourth generation that also should be added to this list and requires tikkun, and that is the generation of Sdom. Now, the generation of Sdom is also, to some extent, an extension of the Dor HaMavul. They're also guilty, to some extent, of repeating the same averos of the Dor HaMavul. So we have Enosh, we have Mavul, we have Haflogah. Now, Yitzchak is born to Avraham at the age of 100. And we said that the number 100 is written Mem Aleph Hey, which is Mabel Enosh Haflogah. So now we want to understand, what does it mean Amachasa Nime Avram? And if you take the first letter of each of these three words, then you end up with Mea. And Mea represents the generations of Mabel, Enosh, and Haflogah. So why would this in any way reflect itself in the Hamachasani Me'avram, the Hey, the Aleph, and the Mem of Hamachasani Me'avram, which is the Mea? And he says the following, that in Parshas Vayeschanan we learn that in the Midrashim, the Yerushalmi, that there was a takon of drinking four cups of wine on the night of the Seder, keneged the four lashonis of Geula, both Seisi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti. Now, there was only one Geula from Mitzrayim. So what does this mean, keneged the four lashonis of Geula? Why does the number four play such an important role? See, so quotes here of Shimshon Shapiro, the Megala Amukos, 5.5 centuries ago, and he says that there are four nations that were Niskalkalu, that rebelled against God. There's Enosh, there's Mabul, there's Haflogah, and there's Stone. And these four generations represent the four Lashonas of Geula, Motsesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti. And the reason for this is that all these generations reappear, so to speak. I have to look for a better word for that, but they express themselves in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim becomes the archetype of Golus, of exile, and it combines within it all of these generations that all lived in a world that, shall we say, was without God. They completely were oblivious to God. That's Enosh, Mabul, Haflogah, and Stone. And now all of the roots of these four generations are now going to need to be cleansed, to be purified. And that's going to be the ultimate expression, if you will, of the Kura Barzal of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is going to cleanse them of these four elements, of the four generations of evil, of Enosh, Mabul, Haflogah, and Sdom. And if that be the case, if what they're doing in Mitzrayim is they're, so to speak, experiencing the Kura Basel for these four nations that rebelled against God, then when the Exodus took place and they left Mitzrayim, these were four different geulos. In other words, even though you might argue that it's one nation and therefore it's one geula, but no, that geula, which represents the pinnacle of the process of tikkun for these four generations, is really four different geulos. And he says the following. Take a look for a moment on the left column on page 3. And he says, Amachasa Nime Avram, right? We have the Mea of Hey Aleph Mem. And these represent the three generations of Mabul, Enosh, and Haflaga. The same Mem Aleph Hey. And where did the rectification take place of these three generations, of the evil of these three generations? In Mitzrayim. And who is going to experience that that tikkun, that process of tikkun? It's going to be Bnei Banav Shel Avram. So what's the connection now between Hamachasa Nime Avram and the word Mea, which is Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga? He says, Me'achar she'gimul doros elu, Mabul, Enosh, ve'afloga nisgalgalu bi'anshei Sdom. You will find them expressing themselves in Sdom. Asher adayin kilkalu, they were still rebellious. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gazar osam, the divine decree, lechalosam in ha'olam, they no longer have a right to exist in this world in Cain. Hein emes, Shavram avinu, lo paal b'tfiloso, lahatzil oso, os latzil osam, atzmam mikloya. Just 1 second, I lost it for a second. Asher adayin kilkilu, v'akadosh baruch hu gozar, omer lechalosam in ha'olam. Ah, now Hashem is going to destroy Sdom. Achen hein emes Avram avinu lo paal b'tfilos lahatzil es osam mikloya. Ula me'achar she'sofel shadom nisgalgalu dalid doros elu b'bnei bonov b'mitzrayim nisdakachu sham v'kura bazel nimtza ki tfiloso shel Avram lo chozo reikom sh'arei ho'ilo l'sakin es nishmosom miredes shacha. So Sdom represents the all-inclusive evil vis-a-vis Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga. Now there's going to be a tikkun in Mitzrayim. So when the pasuk says Hamachasa Nime Avram, what it means is that Avram Avinu, I am not going to conceal, I will rather reveal to you that all the bad generations, the evil generations of Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga, they all sort of mesh or are synthesized in and reflected in Anshei Sdom. And Anshei Sdom will be destroyed by God's decree. So even though it's true that Avraham Avinu did not achieve with his tefillah to save Sdom, but since there will be a Nisgagalu Dalid Doros Elu B'Bnei Bonov B'Mitzrayim V'Nizdakeku Sham B'Kura Basel Nimtzaki Tfilos Shavram L'Chazer Reikam. And basically what we're saying is that through that tefillah of Avram on behalf of Sdom, what he was able to accomplish is that down the line Klal Yisrael could exist in Mitzrayim, and the experience of Mitzrayim is going to purge them of these three evil generations of Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga. And what power is going to generate or okay, I can't think of the word right now, but anyway, what's going to generate this tikkun? It's going to be to save them and purge them and purify them from Mabel, Enosh, and Aflog. It's going to be the tefilos of Avram for Sdom. And Vashem Amar Amachasa Nime Avram Asher and Yose Klomar Hain Emes Sheyesh Svara Lomar Sheroy Lechasos Me Avram. Even though Avram Avinu might be disappointed in the fact that his tefillah was in vain, so to speak, but nevertheless, I'm not going to conceal from Avram what I'm going to do. And the reason for that is because Hamachasa Nime Avram, which are Rashi Tevis of Mea, which means these are the three Doros, which are called Mabul, Enosh, and Afloga, which form the first letter of which forms Mea, they end up in Stone. And now, Holid Avram es Yitzchak v'yoso me'ashona l'rameis al gimel doros elu she'itaknu bibonov u'bnei beso b'mitzrayim. So the ultimate tikkun is going to happen where? In Mitzrayim. That's going to purge them of Mabul, Enosh, and Haflaga, all of which personify or manifest themselves in stone. And now Hashem says, I'm going to destroy stone, but you should know that through your tefillos I'm going to grant your generations in Mitzrayim the ability to be metaken stone. And again, stone is the all-encompassing door of evil, of all the other evils. And finally, I see we're running out of time, but just on page 4, on page 4, we begin to understand Avraham Hayo Yel Goy Gadol V'Atzum. Where did that happen? What created this Goy Gadol? What experience generated that? And the answer is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is going to be the Kura Barzel. It's going to purify the people. They're going to emerge, exit from Mitzrayim as a Goy Gadol V'Atzum. And V'od, and furthermore, V'nivruchu Ba Kol Goye Haaretz. Okay, as a whole discussion here about the word v'nivruchu, about mavrich, we'll leave that for the time being. And now the Torah says, Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaves bonaves beso akro v'shomru derech Hashem lasos tztoku mishpat. What is tztok and what is mishpat? God was mahapech Sdom. Sdom was pogea in staka umishpat. And Avram Avinu is now going to leave a legacy of how to be metaking stone. And that's going to be through staka umishpat. Vishamru derech Hashem laso staka umishpat. That Avram will command his children, his generations, this is Avram's legacy, laso staka umishpat. Now his galgul anshei stone b'tof bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim yitaknu sham karoy. In Mitzrayim there'll be a tikkun of all the influences, the negative influences contaminating them from stone. L'chein machvas kol zeh roy legalos liavram al mapechas stone. V'ein lachu shema yispal leim tefila levatol ki tefila tefilaso lo toshu reikam sharei tefilaso ho ila litaknam. So the effect of Avram's tefillah, we asked, how did Avram's tefillah make an impact? The answer is, during the exile of Mitzrayim. Avram's tefillah is going to be responsible for the tikkun process of rectifying all the evils of those three generations which manifest themselves in stone. And how are Klal Yisrael going to be able to succeed in purging themselves of all those contaminations from stone? And the answer is through the process of tefillah. Tefillah has the ability to be mahapech the das of destruction and forces of evil, and somehow the tefillah will engender within Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim the ability to use that experience of Mitzrayim as a kura barzel to purge themselves of the contaminating influences of those generations that express itself in stone. So finally, the conclusion that we want to derive here in the paragraph in Tzayim Lemeidim Mikol Zeh Lekach Nisgav Chizuk Niflo Vavodes HaTfilo Ki Af Shalomar Sa'ayin Lo Niskablo Tfilo Sushal Avram Vino Anshei Stom Bo Lamito Shal Dover Ho Ilo Tfilo Sol Lidoros Acharov Kasher Yisgalgalu Anshei Stom B'Sof B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim She Yizku L'Tikun Sholem. That in Mitzrayim they could do an absolute rectification, total rectification. Bischus tefilas of Avram, because of the power of the tefillah of Avram. Umize naskil adas shakadosh baruch hu shomea tefilos kol peh el shalachol tefilo yesh lo eis v'chefetz lots eis min hapoel min hakoach el hapoel. In other words, everyone should realize that his tefillah has a certain potential. And it could be that that potential will not be realized as a tikkun shalom until way down the line. And that's going to happen between the Avram's tefillah and down the line in Mitzrayim, that Avram's tefillah is going to accomplish the goal of giving Bnei Yisrael of Mitzrayim, through their suffering there, the ability to refine themselves, to experience a cathartic experience that will uplift them. All this is because and as a result of the tefillah, the impact of the tefillah of Avram Avinu. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to have to stop here. If you want to make a note, we got up to the last paragraph on the right column of page 4, so we're pretty much at the end. And again, if you take a look at his last paragraph, he reiterates that the purpose of this study was to appreciate the koach hatfilah, in this case, the koach hatfilah of Avram Avinu. And even though, when you look at it superficially, you see that Avram Avinu failed in his endeavor to save Sdom, but nevertheless, that tefillah of Avram Avinu continues to impact on the Jewish nation even today. L'maisa kibel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillah sol ha'atzil es nishmas David HaMelech she'asid Melech HaMashiach lotzeis mimenu. That as a result of the tefillah of Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted that tefillah and he will spare the people of Israel, and amongst them the neshama of David HaMelech, who will be the Melech HaMashiach, Sheyavo B'mheirav Yameinu, Amen. So we get a chance to fill in the missing blanks that we didn't get a chance to do on page 4. I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom. And we'll open the door if you don't mind, because I have a class
Who's
now.
Who's the author of this?
This is called the Shvilei Pinchas. Take a look on the first page, if you can.
Shvilei Pinchas.
And you'll see his name that's written on the top line there.
Friedman.
His name is Rav Pinchas Friedman.
Yeah.
And he's the Rosh Kol and Bells.